hiding over here. Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Only the moon lit the dark countryside, and the shape of a man was slowly rising over the hill. He was a shepherd. And behind him trailed a flock of sheep. The shepherd surveys the land with his eyes. Then he beckons the sheep to come follow him down to a calm river for water, next to a green pasture for food, a midnight snack. Tired and stuffed, one by one, the sheep drift off to sleep. But the shepherd is wide awake, scanning the hills, always watching, always ready. And soon the inevitable happens. A wolf starts to creep out through the dark trees. He sees the flock and starts walking towards them. The shepherd sees the wolf coming. He picks himself up off the ground and moves quickly, methodically towards the wolf. And then, as he nears him, he picks up his pace. He comes with his staff, and he smacks the wolf. And the wolf sort of crawls off into the forest, whimpering. That wolf was done. But where one wolf is, other wolves are always lingering, lurking, ready to pounce. They would be back. So quickly, the shepherd wakes up all the sheep. You know, so imagine him pushing a sheep over. Hey, wake up. He wakes them all up, and they're all disoriented, and they don't know what's going on. And they're like, ah, ah. They don't know what's going on. They don't understand. They're half asleep. It's dark outside. They don't understand what's happening. But they trust their shepherd. And so they listen to his voice, and he leads them to safety. If any of them are freezing or sick or they're the runt of the litter, the shepherd holds them, carries them through the night, giving them his warmth and letting them know it's going to be okay. This is the kind of scene underlining Psalm 23, our text for today. The heart of Psalm 23 is that God is our shepherd and we are his sheep. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside calm waters. He restores my soul. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. In John 10, Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. I mean, Jesus, God, is the shepherd spoken of in Psalm 23. I will fear no evil, for Jesus is with me. Jesus will lead us through the valley of the shadow of death. Jesus will come running with a staff and smack the wolves out of the way. Jesus will protect us, the sheep, from wolves through the valley of the shadow of death. Now, sheep have really bad eyesight. Like notoriously bad eyesight. So if they trust their own eyesight in a dark valley, they're going to not be able to see. They're going to get lost. They're going to miss the path. They're going to like walk into a tree. Because they can't see. But sheep have excellent hearing. Though they can't see for themselves, though they're blind out there, if they listen to their shepherd's voice, if they trust his voice and know it is him, he will lead them, guide them through the valley. And it's the same thing with us. Even though we can't always see, even though we don't always understand, if we listen to Jesus' voice, he will get us through. Now, for many of us, this is a huge comfort. We love the Sunday school image of these adorable little lambs and Jesus sort of tenderly guiding us through our daily lives and these adorable little lambs. And perhaps that's why Psalm 23 is so popular. It's read at funerals, weddings, baptisms. It's in movies, Hallmark cards. I've even heard it in a rap song, like, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Have you heard that before? That's an actual song. It's in movies. It's everywhere. For a lot of people, Psalm 23 is a huge comfort. They love it. But for some of us, myself included, we really struggle with this whole concept of the shepherd and the sheep. The first problem is how helpless and pathetic sheep are. I mean, seeing yourself as the blessed little lamb of God is not exactly in keeping with traditional masculinity or the modern notion of the empowered, liberated female. Instead, sheep are weak. They're unable to defend themselves. A whole herd of sheep will run away if a particularly feisty rabbit gets too close. Sheep, as they're walking, will sometimes just fall on their backs like turtles, and they can't get up on their own. They will literally lay there till they die, going, bah, bah, waiting for someone like the shepherd to come flip them back upside again. One expert writes that sheep are one of the dirtiest and dumbest creatures around. They require more attention than any other livestock and just can't take care of themselves. And that is exactly the first struggle I have with the imagery of us as sheep and God as a shepherd. I'd rather have a more impressive and manly metaphor. Like, I am a lion and God is a lion tamer. Or, I'm a dragon and God is my wizard. Something more masculine, you know, like something more powerful and mighty and... I want to be King Kong in this metaphor, you know? In short, the first struggle I have with Psalm 23 is pride. I'm too prideful to see myself as a pathetic, helpless, smelly, blind, dumb little lamb. Can any of you sympathize with that struggle in your own lives? How many of us struggle with pride, with acting like we know better than everyone else, better than our friends or even God, putting ourselves up as higher, greater, smarter, stronger, better than we actually are? Do we see ourselves as sheep? Or do we still like to pretend that we're dragons or lions or something else seemingly big and important? I remember this one time I was in college and this girl came up to me and she was like, Jonathan, can we go get coffee sometime? And I was like, well, I'll have to check my calendar. Yes! And I was kind of like, okay. I know what she wants. I was a senior in college. I was doing pretty well. I was in a lot better shape than I am currently in. So we went out to go get coffee, and I'm just waiting for it. She's talking, and I'm just listening, and I'm just waiting for her to bring it up, and she's like, Jonathan, and I'm like, here it goes. I've always really, really, really hated you. I just like died on the spot. And the whole time I'd been building myself up, I'm like, clearly the only reason someone could want to talk to me over coffee would be because they are in love with me. Which sounds stupid and ridiculous, but we do that, don't we? We build ourselves up. And I realized that I'd kind of build up this pride image. I'd gotten sort of full of myself, you know, senior in college, about to graduate. And it was kind of a slap to my pride. A wake-up call to my ego and arrogance. It was kind of the initiating moment of a reevaluation in my life of pride. Honestly, it's only in the last few years that I've really started to work through my pride. Now that I'm married and have to be there for someone else, and if I fail, it affects them. Now that I'm a minister and have to take care of a church. Now that I'm soon probably going to be in the future a father and have to take care of a kid and not just make sure that they don't get run over by a car, but help them grow up into a decent human being. I don't know about you, but facing that kind of stuff, I don't know what the heck to do. I don't feel like a dragon or a lion or something manly. I feel pathetic and helpless, and I don't know what to do. I feel like a little sheep. Life flattens your pride. I don't know about you, but I struggle to know what to do when facing those kind of things. I can't see clearly through the darkness of life. I'm not big enough. I'm not smart enough. I'm not strong enough. I'm not disciplined enough. I'm not good or holy or righteous enough to get through this on my own. I need God. I need a shepherd to lead me through. I'm a sheep. You are sheep. We are sheep. Not dragons, not lions, sheep. So that's the first struggle I've had with Psalm 23. Pride. I don't want to be a sheep. The second problem, control. I mean, how many of us get frustrated over something as stupid as who gets to hold the remote for the TV? Or which restaurant the family goes to for dinner? So when God, our shepherd, comes into our lives and tries to control it, direct it, we don't always respond as we should because we're still trying to control our lives. We don't want to be sheep. We want to be the shepherd. We want to be the one in control. We don't want to follow someone else and submit to their decisions for our lives. We want to be the shepherd calling the shots. I want to do what I want to do, when and where and how I want to do it. And it's so hard to get out of that mindset of needing control. So much of our world sees power and control as something to be taken. How much of office or family or church politics has less to do with what's best for the group and more to do with individuals striving for control? How many of us can't handle a real relationship because we can't let someone else share the control of our lives? How many of us have to have complete control over our careers, our finances, our direction in order to feel safe? And like the world is okay. How many of us, when things aren't going according to plan, have a nervous breakdown instead of giving it to God, our shepherd, and letting Him lead us through. But for all of our attempts to bring security and control to our lives, is this really something we can win? Is this something that if we just work harder, then we'll have control? Is it actually something we can succeed at? Is not the very nature of death such that one day, everyone, no matter who you are or what you've done or how much control you've had, one day you are going to die and you will lose all control? Nothing will be in your hands anymore. And on that day, as we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, do we still want to be the shepherd? Or are we willing to be sheep? Am I willing to give up control to Jesus? So we struggle with pride, not wanting to be sheep. And we also struggle with control, wanting to be the shepherd, calling the shots. But I think there's a third and final struggle many of us have with Psalm 23's image of the shepherd and the sheep. And it has to do with trust. A while back, when I was in the U.S. doing my undergrad, a mentor of mine in the U.S. told me about his earlier years. He was around 50 years old when he told me this, but the emotion of the story came off his tongue like it was yesterday. We were sitting at a table in Starbucks, surrounded by chatting people, so he leaned in really close so that we could actually hear each other over all of the roars and the cappuccino makers. He got in really close. And he said, "Jonathan, you haven't been alive long enough to remember a time when everybody respected the president. The news people, even the opposite party, everyone respected the president of the United States. Even if you disagreed with him, you respected him. But I'm old enough, Jonathan, to remember that time." And I also remember the day that Richard Nixon resigned the presidency over a scandal. And later on, President Clinton got caught in adultery. He continued the story. "I remember a few years later when I was 12. And my mom called me into the living room and told me, 'Your dad's leaving, we're getting a divorce.' A few years later after that," he continued, "I remember when I was 16. And the pastor at my church, a personal mentor of mine, got caught in a scandal where he'd been sleeping with women who weren't his wife, and he had to leave the ministry. He said to me, 'Jonathan, by the time I was 16, my president, my parents, and my preacher had all let me down. Is it any wonder that I struggle with trust? That we as a society struggle with trust?'" Many of us don't want to hand control of our lives to another, don't want to trust them with our lives, because when we've done that before, we got hurt. When we let people into our lives, gave them a part of ourselves that they could either nurture or neglect, they left us down. They ran when the wolves came and didn't protect us. They weren't there when we needed them. Jesus actually talks about these kind of people. He calls them hired hands. In John 10, Jesus says, "The hired hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep. He's just been hired, thus hired hand. So when he sees the wolves coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolves attack the sheep. The man runs away because he's not really the shepherd. He's just been hired. He's there as a business transaction to get money. hired hand is someone who doesn't actually care about the sheep. It's not about the sheep. It's about something else. In this case, they've been paid to take care of the sheep. So what comes between their lives and their duty to the sheep, they run, and the wolves get the sheep. So many of us have been hurt by so many hired hands to trust our lives to another shepherd. We don't want to hand control of our lives to God because when we've given someone our trust before, they abused it. They ran when the wolves came. They left us in our darkest hour, like when a boyfriend or a girlfriend lied and manipulated you repeatedly. Many of us have been hurt by bad relationships when a spouse didn't care for us, mocked us, or even left us. Or you can stop trusting over something as simple as being at work and realizing, no one else can really be trusted to get any of this work done. I have to do it all myself. Or we lose trust over things like when a friend stabs you in the back. Or when a parent didn't spend time with you, didn't listen to you, or even abandoned you. I know 50-year-old respectable guys who still struggle with trusting God today because of something their dad said 30 or even 40 years ago. You or someone you know may even have been sexually abused by someone close to you. We don't talk about that in the church. Apparently, we're not supposed to, but statistically, 1 in 4 women and 1 in 8 men have been sexually abused at some point in their lives. And the majority of those abuses don't occur in back alleys with strangers. They occur in a home with a close friend or family member, with the people we are supposed to learn how to trust from, in the place, the home, we're supposed to learn what trust means. So when God, our shepherd, says the words, "Trust us, me," many of us know what that means in our heads, but we don't get it in our hearts. Too many hired hands have hurt us and left us too many times for us to trust ourselves into the hands of a shepherd again. Too many hired hands have abandoned us when the wolves came, didn't shepherd us through the trials and the valleys of life. We've lost our ability to trust. There is a shepherd who does not leave us alone in the dark, who does not use us for his own financial gain or pleasure, who does not run from wolves, who stands by us even if it costs him his life. And that shepherd is Jesus Christ. He's not just another hired hand. He's the good shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep. He doesn't say, "Trust me," to trick you out of your money. He doesn't say, "I love you," to manipulate you into giving him what he wants. He doesn't say, "Follow me," only to leave you in your darkest hour. No, Jesus will stand by us, even if that means death. And that's exactly what it means. Jesus died on a cross for us. He took our place on the cross so that our sins wouldn't follow us forever. Jesus let the wolves ravage him, so that we could escape. If you will listen to Jesus' voice, he will guide you through the deepest, darkest pits of hell and back again. He won't abandon you in the midst of broken relationships or frustrations at work or with family at home. He won't stop loving you even in the midst of your sins, your anger, or depression. And he won't leave you because you struggle with pride, control, or trust like I do. Jesus is with us through thick and thin, till death do us part, and then some. Jesus is the kind of shepherd who makes us able to trust again. He'd sooner die than abandon us. Jesus is the good shepherd. So we struggle with pride, control, and trust. We don't want to be sheep. We want to be the shepherd, and we don't trust the shepherd. Let me close with a story. I see some of your heads pop up like, stories, I like stories. Everyone likes stories. It's about my own family. And it starts back when I was in high school, which I just found out a couple of you were in high school with me, so that's great. It's an embarrassing time of my life. When I was in high school, right in grade 12, my grandma on my mom's side was going downhill. She was 95 years old at the time. And my mom's brother, my uncle, had just been diagnosed with cancer. And on top of that, that's when my parents decided to get a divorce. So it was all these things kind of coming at once. Three wolves from different directions. It's like, well, all right, give up. We're done. They're going to get us. And I was just in high school, a complete idiot, struggling with life and depression and all this other stuff as well. And at that time, my grandma was actually the only Christian in the family. So as all this is going on, she's sort of there in a hospital bed like, stop. Stop doing all the stupid things you're doing, people. And it was then in her last year of life that my grandma woke up in the middle of the night, and all of a sudden she felt inspired to write, as if God had placed something on her heart that she couldn't contain. So she leaned over onto her night table, and she put pen to paper. And out of this 95-year-old, at 3 o'clock in the morning, came a fully formed poem. A poem that, little did she know, would soon be read at her own funeral. Let me read it to you. The Lord is my shepherd, my friend, and my guide. When troubles surround me, He walks by my side. He tells me to fear not, walk tall in His ways, and with humble obedience, I gladly obey. For the Lord is my shepherd. My grandma died soon after that. And in the UBC hospital, my mom held her own mother's hand as grandma took her very last breath on earth. And my mom said that the most stunning part of the whole thing was how peaceful grandma looked when she died. My mom said that grandma was at peace because she knew where she was going, that Jesus, her shepherd, would soon bring her home. He was calling her through the valley of the shadow of death to the other side. Grandma listened to her shepherd's voice, and he guided her through the valley of death. My grandma was not proud or in control. It's hard to be prideful or pretend you're in control when you're in your 90s, have been through two world wars, numerous economic depressions, countless family deaths, and now in old age, your body barely does what you want it to do anymore. And so she trusted God, even in the midst of the darkest valley of the shadow of death. Our family was breaking at the seams, and her own life was coming to an end as well. But she trusted God fully, and that is why, even on her deathbed, Grandma was completely at peace. To this day, my mother will tell you that the moment of Grandma's passing was the pivotal reason why she has a real relationship with God today. Seeing Grandma trust God, even through death, changed my mother. My mom is now a full-on Christian. And it was only a few weeks after Grandma's death that I became a Christian myself. And my life changed forever. Grandma listened to her shepherd's voice in the midst of our family's darkest valley, and even in the midst of her own demise. And her shepherd came through. The Lord is my shepherd. Is he yours?